Well, good morning, ladies. I had no idea we had this big a group on Wednesday mornings, but it's wonderful to look out and see how many of you are making it a priority to come to Bible study. So it's good. I just want to say good morning to you, and it is a pleasure for me to be with you because I love Watermark Women's Bible Study. Over the many years that I have been involved, I have grown tremendously in my knowledge of the Bible, and I have been continually encouraged and motivated to be more like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we look at our lesson in Hebrews 11:23 through 12:2, I want us to think about this question. What does it take for a nobody down here on earth to be a somebody up in heaven? For a number of years, my husband, James, was responsible at his company to take groups of high achievers from all over the world to Hawaii for the Chairman's Club Circle of Excellence. It was where employees were honored for their work ethic and achievements, and while they honored salespeople, they also honored employees from all different kinds of backgrounds and jobs. There were manufacturing employees, secretaries, maintenance workers, engineers, and often someone would come on that trip who had never flown on an airplane. Many of those employees were in jobs where they felt like nobodies. But when they arrived for that week in Hawaii, they felt like and they were treated like somebodies. And yes, we have been on the islands of Hawaii over 75 times on those work assignments. But as my husband always said, someone's got to do it. So why not us? He got the idea of the circle of excellence from Hebrews 11, circle of faith. Except these employees had to be recognized for their hard work and the value that they added to the corporation to be selected. That's different from what we talk about today in Hebrews. These men and women were selected and honored for their faith, and they came from all different kinds of backgrounds. But the majority of them were not from backgrounds of influence and importance. Most of them were nobodies who just faithfully followed God. We see from our lesson today that God loves to take his faithful nobodies here on earth and make them a billboard to show the world what it takes to be somebody in heaven. What is encouraging to us, the women of Watermark, is that many of us may feel like nobodies when it comes to being effective for God's purposes. We are all very, very special in God's eyes, and he wants to use all of us. God is not looking for those of influence, importance, and power. He is looking for women who are faithful and available. He wants to use every one of us in this room and those who are listening for his kingdom purposes. You may think, well, he can't use me. I'm a full-time mother. I'm a homemaker. I'm too busy at my job. I'm too old. I don't have enough Bible knowledge. And we can think of a multitude of other excuses. But God says, but regardless of what you think or how you feel, I want to give you a life full of purpose and joy. I'm calling each one of you to participate with me in populating heaven. And all you need is faith, a trusting in God faith, like these men and women that we're going to read about here in Hebrews 11. Along with being mostly a bunch of nobodies, these men and women in Hebrews 11 look like fools to the watching world. But Hebrews 11, 24 to 25 says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the very fleeting pleasures of sin. Now that sounds like a fool to the world. Or don't you think that the Egyptian army thought the people of Israel were fools when they planned an escape route that backed them up to the Red Sea? Of course they did. But Hebrews 11:29 says, God honored their faith and provided a dry path through the sea. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. What do you think the residents of Jericho thought when they saw the people of Israel marching around their city for 7 days? They must have thought, who do these fools think they are? But then Hebrews 11:30 tells us God's battle plan was very different from the world's. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. The writer of Hebrews says it would take too long to recount the stories of all the faithful men and women of the Bible. In addition to the names we've heard of, like Gideon, Samson, David, the scripture talks about others who were tortured, refusing to turn from God to be set free. Faithful women and men were jeered at, placed in prisons, sawed in half, killed by the sword. They were destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. But they all placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Hebrews 11:38-39 says they were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains and hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. The world called them fools, but God called them faithful. Most of them were foolish nobodies down here on earth, but now they are faithful somebodies in heaven. All of these faithful men and women probably came to a point where they said, God, I am available. Use me. And when they did, Hebrews 11:34 says, their weakness was turned into strength. And that's what God wants to do with each of us, turn our weakness into strength. He wants to do amazing things in our lives as we yield to him. James and I decided when our kids were small that we were going to make family a priority. That meant for us that he would stay in a lesser job where you didn't have to travel, and I would be a stay-at-home mom with our four kids. That also meant we didn't have much money, but we had tremendous times with our children. And as a result, we have many, many treasured memories. But to some of our friends who were climbing the ladders of worldly success, we looked foolish for the choices we were making. The constant routine of raising four small children left me feeling like a nobody ministry-wise. As a child, I wanted to grow up and be a missionary. But here I am, a wife and a mother, so I asked God to use me, to show me how I could be effective for Jesus in the midst of my circumstances. One of the things that I could do was to have a good news club each week at our house to teach neighborhood kids about the Bible and tell them about Jesus. So we started doing that every Tuesday. James would rearrange the furniture, put a sign outside on a chair that said, "Good News Club meets here." And then he would bring home dinner for our family after the club was over. We had many neighborhood children coming every week. And one day, I was in Home Depot, and they had a bin full of work gloves. It was about that tall. And they were 25 cents a pair. So thinking that I could use them for crafts in our Good News Club, I bought all they had. Then when I got home, God gave me the idea to make them into a gospel glove to present the good news of Jesus. I put different covered balls on the fingers and eyes of the balls, and I wrote a song to go along with the gospel presentation, and we called it the Gospel Fuzzies. We had that Good News Club in our home for 14 years, and a large number of our kids' friends, as well as kids from other neighborhoods, came to trust and follow Jesus. We have heard of a number of those kids now, grown-ups, testify that they heard the gospel and trusted in Jesus at Mrs. Wimberly's Good News Club. And while those are amazing stories of God's grace, they are nothing compared to what God did and is still doing with the Gospel Fuzzies. Child Evangelism asked me if they could buy the rights to my Gospel Fuzzies to distribute around the world. And I said, "I'll give you the rights." And they said, but they had to pay me. So they gave me a check for $35. The Gospel Fuzzies have now traveled to 218 countries around the world, telling the good news of Jesus. The little girl who wanted to be the missionary didn't get to go herself, but her Gospel Fuzzies have gone to all of those countries. They have gone to Russia and China and Iran, but they have never made the journey to North Korea. And James and I pray frequently that the Gospel Fuzzies will visit the children of that country. It's amazing what God will do when we say, "Here I am, use me." The song to the Gospel Fuzzies starts off by saying, "We are the Gospel Fuzzies and we wouldn't hurt a flea." And so I want to show you how the Gospel Fuzzies can communicate the gospel message. So let me get this on. This is my... All right, it's all right. So goal stands for heaven. So that's where I want to go. Dark means I'm a sinner and I can't get in. Red means Jesus died and he rose again. White means I'm forgiven when I trust in him. And green means that I'm growing when I follow him. If you are here and you're not sure of your relationship with Christ and you're not sure that you're going to heaven, I invite you to have a Gospel Fuzzy, childlike faith, and make today that day that you decide to follow Jesus. You could just follow along with me with the words to that, if they represent the desires of your heart. And I'm just going to pray it out loud, and you can listen. Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sins. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of woman you want me to be. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that simple prayer, you're on your way to heaven and a meaningful life here on earth. And I would love to meet with you down front after my message to encourage you in your new life in Christ. God fulfilled this little girl's dream in a way she never imagined. She was feeling like a nobody, raising kids at home, and feeling foolish in the eyes of the world for not working and utilizing her college degree. And she came to a point of saying, "Lord, I'm available. Use me." And he did. And he will use you too. Our dreams can be fulfilled when we yield to God and we live by faith, not worrying about what people in the world think. God tells us how to do that in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. "Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." What are those sins that weigh you down? Still, my biggest one today is fear. Fear grips me when I fly on an airplane. Fear that shows up when I'm trying something new, or fear that can easily turn into worry about tomorrow for a child or a grandchild. God is helping me overcome this struggle, but I have to keep believing that he will turn my weakness into a strength. And I have seen him do it time and time again. And he wants each one of us nobodies to say, "Lord, use me," and by faith, start running with endurance the race of life, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. God sets different races for each of us to run. We had a faithful friend, Angela Andrews, whom we knew from the very early days of Watermark, and God called her to run a very difficult race. She couldn't fix her eyes on Jesus because she was blind, but her heart was glued to Jesus. Many of you women in this class showed the love of Christ to Angela for many years, bringing her to Watermark services and Bible studies, and taking her on doctor's appointments and errands, and taking her to lunch, or just sitting and praying with her and being her friend. Angela loved the women of Watermark, and she loved our church. Even with her limited capabilities, Angela asked God to use her, and he did so in many ways. She was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, and she ran her race with endurance, keeping her heart fixed on Jesus. She loved God's word. She loved to pray. Angela was a prayer warrior for the women of Watermark and our church, and she never missed an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. She was always available and willing to serve in a Watermark ministry. She was faithful and available. Angela went to be with Jesus a little over a year ago at the young age of 53. And one comment left at her service from a friend said, "Her whole purpose in life was to point everyone to Jesus." And another person said that day, "I was encouraged by her strong faith. Regardless of the circumstances, she always put life into perspective." And while Angela may have seemed unimportant and just a foolish nobody in the eyes of the world, because the world would say, how can a blind person praise God for being blind? But while it was hard, Angela did, because she knew where she was going and what God had in store for her. I think she was ushered into heaven on September 19th, 2022, as one of God's faithful somebodies, just the same as these faithful men and women in Hebrews 11. So to answer our question from the start of our lesson, what does it take for a nobody down here to be a somebody up there, to be a somebody in heaven? We simply need to be faithful and available, ask God to use you, and he will. But sometimes we will look foolish in the eyes of the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:10, our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools. But you know, in God's eyes, we are not fools when we are fully committed to following him, because Jesus is our reason for being. And I want to take some time here just to read you some things about Jesus. Jesus is everywhere. Jesus rides on the wind and he walks on the water. Jesus is an ever-present help. Jesus supplies all of your needs. Jesus stands at your door and knocks and then enters your heart when invited. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Jesus knew your name before you were born. And not only does he know your name, he knows your address too. He knows your history and your future, and he even knows how many hairs are on your head and how many have come out today. Jesus has a heart full of love. Jesus offers health, help, and hope. Jesus says, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Jesus makes new life, mends wounded hearts, repairs broken homes, and builds mansions. Jesus gives you joy that is your strength. Jesus became our gift and died on a tree, the cross. I want to challenge you to step out by faith, like these faithful men and women of Hebrews 11, and trust that where you are right now is exactly where God wants you to be, and say, Lord, I'm available. Use me. You won't be disappointed. God wants all the women of Watermark to be somebodies in heaven. Let me close us in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for every woman here at Watermark. Help us all be faithful, available, yielded to you for your purposes in our lives. Lord, you call each of us to run different life races, but regardless of our race, help us run it with faith and endurance, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and not worrying about what other people in the world think. Lord, make our lives count for eternity, like these faithful men and women in Hebrews 11. Father, we ask you all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.